Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman. Well, we are coming back to the book of Obadiah, the shortest book in the Old Testament. One chapter, 21 verses, primarily a pronouncement of judgment upon the nation of Edom, but it expands to principles of judgment that will be applied to all nations and indeed to individuals, but concludes, as you may recall, with a wonderful section on deliverance, salvation, a way to escape the coming judgment that all of us deserve. And in that last section, there are a number of intriguing elements that have to do with the expectation of things to come. What theologians call eschatology, what's coming in the future, that seems to be of great interest to many people, and understandably so. And so this section of Scripture has some things to say about that, but understanding exactly what it does say about that is maybe a little more challenging than it might first appear. But that's what we have been dealing with on the broadcast over the last couple of days, and we are going to continue in that vein again today. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, June 3, and many thanks for those who recognize that we can't do this without money. We have to pay the radio bills, and if we're going to continue teaching God's Word on this station, we are going to have the financial help of God's people. Many thanks to those who are already helping us, and perhaps God would have you to join that faithful band. Now, we are looking at things to come, the expectation of things to come, and a couple of broadcasts ago we talked about the coming judgment, which really is the major theme of most of the book. But yesterday on the broadcast, we talked about coming deliverance, and that is the wonderful promise that is also found in this book. That's in verse 17, "But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." But having covered that, we now come to a third element, and this one I think is going to be more challenging than the others. And that is, there is a coming kingdom indicated. There is indication of the possession of the land. We move on to verse 18. "The house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Edom shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken." We covered that a couple of days ago, so I'm just simply reading it on my way to verse 19 and 20, where we get this intriguing language, "The south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the field of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath, the captives of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad shall possess the cities of the south. Then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." Now, what do we make of all of this? This section talks about possessing the land and goes through a number of geographical territories that either are in or adjacent to the nation of Israel. The mountains of Esau, that would be Edom. Philistia, well, that would be along the Mediterranean coast, which is now in the land of Israel. Possess the fields of Ephraim, that, of course, would be within the borders of the land of Israel. And the fields of Samaria, that, too, is within the borders of the territory of Israel. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. That's what is sometimes referred to as Transjordan, the part of Israel. And again, it was part of the nation of Israel during much of its existence in the Old Testament. But that was the part that is east of Jordan rather than west of Jordan. You have to have a little bit of a concept, at least, of the geographical features of the land of Israel in order to understand this. And then we read, the captives of this host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites. Well, the land of the Canaanites, of course, is Canaan. And that, again, is Israel. When God brought his people into the promised land, he brought them into the land of Canaan, which was inhabited by Canaanites. There are a number of elements there that are very intriguing and instructive. I maybe will digress enough to say that the so-called curse of Ham, one of Noah's three sons, God did pronounce a judgment in relationship to his sin against his father Noah. You can read about that in the book of Genesis. But the judgment that was pronounced wasn't pronounced upon Ham. It was pronounced upon one of the sons of Ham, namely Canaan. And some have erroneously drawn from that a curse that God pronounced. It has been taught erroneously upon those who are descendants of Ham in the continent of Africa, Ethiopia, and other areas of Africa. And in the past was a very misused text in order to justify mistreatment of the African people, the enslavement of them and so forth, as if somehow this is simply a fulfillment of the judgment of God in pronouncing his curse upon Canaan, the son of Ham. But of course, that is a terrible misunderstanding, a terrible misunderstanding. And just think about it for about 60 seconds, and you'll understand why it's so completely erroneous. Because though Canaan was a son of Ham, Canaan did not, and his descendants did not go to Africa. Canaan is the father of the Canaanites. And where did the Canaanites settle? They settled in the land of Canaan, or the land that we now call Israel, or some their other names have been attached to it, the Holy Land, the Promised Land, so forth and so on. But the land of Canaan, Canaan is the father of the Canaanites who inhabited the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, and the judgment of God, the curse that was pronounced upon them, was fulfilled in the conquest of Canaan by the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. It has nothing to do with Africa whatsoever. The Canaanites. And that's referred to here. So where are we? Go back to verse 20. The captives of the host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. And that takes you to one of the farthest northern portions of Canaan. I actually should have looked that up before I made a statement about it, because I've actually forgotten, but I think that's where it is. Zarephath's in the north. And then it says, the captives of Jerusalem who are in Shepherad shall possess the cities of the south. So this is talking about territories that are basically all encompassed within the land of Israel, at least during some of their existence. Of course, the territory of Israel expanded and shrank according to their fortunes. When God's blessing was upon them, the territory extended far beyond what is suggested here in the verses that I just read in Obadiah, under David and Solomon, and under other portions of their existence. And then there were other times when the territory of Israel shrank to smaller dimensions than what is suggested here. But we have here this promise that the Israelites shall possess their land. But it goes on to say that then saviors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau. Saviors, some translations put servants, but saviors, plural, to Mount Zion to judge Esau. Well, there we've got Esau again. Saviors shall come to Mount Zion, that's the territory of Jerusalem, to judge the mountains of Esau, that's in Edom. So what are we to make of that exactly? Because the next statement then goes on to say, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. That sounds like the eternal kingdom. That sounds like the second coming of Christ. That sounds like thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That sounds like the culmination of all things. It sounds like final judgment, and it suggests, therefore, to me, because the way it ends up here, that all of this should at least be viewed as possibly fulfilled with a spiritual fulfillment. Yes, the territories are actual geographic locations, but like Mount Zion, deliverance on Mount Zion, we talked about that yesterday, that can only be understood fully and comprehensively and effectively by considering the spiritual dimensions and the spiritual fulfillment. I would suggest that because this is in the same context, both before and after, you have these indications of spiritual dimensions, I would suggest that this has to at least be considered in the same light. I don't want to go any farther than that. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. But one more thing that I see in this, and that is the hint at Gentile inclusion in this salvation or deliverance. And that goes back to verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And of course, the statement is implying that all who look to Mount Zion for deliverance shall be saved. And remember, looking at the mountain isn't going to save anybody. Looking at the city of Jerusalem isn't going to save anybody. Looking at the temple isn't going to save anybody. Even looking at the physical cross isn't going to save anybody. And the cross was also erected on Mount Zion. Golgotha would be encompassed in that area. But those who look with the eye of faith upon what Christ did upon the cross of Calvary and rest in that and that alone for their soul salvation, all who do that will be saved, right? Not just the Jews who do that. All who do that shall be saved. Therefore, there's the hint of Gentile inclusion in this deliverance, and that indicates that, to me, that the coming kingdom, which is the last statement of the book, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, the coming kingdom is going to be made up of believing Jews and believing Gentiles. And that's the way it's all going to conclude. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.